minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. My name is Steve Perhatch. I'm your host for the day, joined by Sarah Kelleher, Dusty Evely. It is the Oreo cookie team. take that as you will. but yeah, we are back for another edition Thursday. It's a lot of fun. We've got some departures from the Green Bay Packers, guys. So we're just going to dive right in. Because, you know, every time I ask you how you're feeling, it's, I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'm just skipping over that. We're just moving right on. We're getting right into the meat and potatoes of everything. Randall Cobb, gone. Clay Matthews, gone. What do you guys think? Like, what's I know there was mixed emotions all over Twitter, but Dusty, let's start with you, because you threw out, like, a huge thread of Randall Cobb. Like, I think this affected you deeply.
It hit me hard, man. You know, I talked about it to, I don't know, strangers on the street, and definitely I've talked about a ton of my the other podcast, the Pack to the Future one I do. I can't remember how much I brought it up here. You know, I went to school at UK, University of Kentucky. I've been here living in this area for 25 years now. So I kind of grew up as a Florida Gator fan, because we're kind of living in Florida when I started paying attention to college football. But, you know, I've kind of adopted the Wildcats, and so I've been to games up there. I've been to games up at Commonwealth and all that stuff. And I just, you know, I loved Cobb. Loved Cobb. Loved watching him in college. I knew I had friends of mine that were good friends of his, just by all accounts, just a stand-up guy. And so when he came up for the draft, it was kind of this, man, I hope the Packers get him. Man, I hope the Packers get him. And when they didn't get him in the first round, when they drafted Sherrod, there's no way he's going to make it to the end of the second round. And he did. We were watching that draft on the porch of my parents' house, and we were all just elated, man. And he did not disappoint. I mean, you know, he had kind of after he signed that contract, he had some troubles with injuries and trying to play through those and having some issues, and the production kind of wasn't what it was. But he, like, legitimately one of my all-time favorite Packers. And part of that is that I watched him through UK. And part of that is just his attitude, what he brought to the team, the versatility. I mean, he was always just putting it all out there, man. Like, he had emotion without kind of going over the top of it. He was kind of one of those, just a leader that guys look to. I mean, he's only 28. You know, he's still relatively young, but he's definitely one of the leaders on that squad. You know, Rodgers loved him. I loved his game. I loved his attitude. It's one of those, I understand. I mean, with that money, like the 1 year, $5.5 million, and the Packers spending what they spent, that there's no reason to bring Cobb back. I understand that he's gone. I understand why he's gone, and it makes sense. I zero issue with that. But man, that one hurt. Like, of all the departures we've seen recently, Cobb hurt more than anything, just because I've loved his game, you know, all through college, and then in Green Bay as well. So that one more than any other one. The Cobb departure hit me pretty hard.
I think that's one of the things I really noticed on Twitter, is I think people actually kind of understood it. It was,
yeah,
this is a smart business decision for the Packers. It's what needed to happen. But this just sucks, because he was a good, like, he was a great guy. He was good for the, you know, for the city, for the state. And he was a Packer through and through. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to understand that he needs to leave for the business side of things, and still be able to mourn the loss of this guy who was just such part of the Super Bowl team that, you know,
drafted in 11. Yeah. So it was a year after.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, he was just such an integral part of this team. So Sarah, what's your thoughts on Randall being gone?
I mean, I feel the same way. Like, as like a young kid growing up, like, he was some of the first names, like, that I remember, like, when I really started, like, getting into football and, like, watching the Packers games with my parents and, like, understanding what was going on. He was, like, one of the first players that I was like, wow. Like, he, like you said, he was a Packer. Like, he made you just feel like, wow, like, I'm so passionate about, like, this team and about, like, what they're doing and just, like, everything. So for me, like, I get it. Like, I honestly, like, I knew it was coming,
yeah,
but just, like, seeing it and, like, knowing that we're gonna, like, see him in a Cowboys, like, jersey is just so weird to me. Like, because it's just like, when I think of him, I think of, like, a Packer. And it's kind of like the same thing with, like, Clay Matthews. Like, for me, like, I was like, yeah, like, I don't know if we're gonna re-sign him, especially after, like, the past year and like just like lack of productivity basically. Mm-hmm. And like I was, but again, like growing up, like Cobb and Clay Matthews were two players where it was like, these are some of the first players that I like really watched and paid attention to. Like it was my first group really of like, kind of like as a kid, like idolized like these players and stuff like that. So although I do understand the decisions and I think they're the right decisions, it still hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally understandable. Even Rodgers came out, put a post on Instagram today about, you know, quoted some Shawshank and talking about from this perspective read of, you know, how some birds aren't meant to be caged. And, you know, I miss my friend Andy. It's just one of the, it was kind of cool. Like you just thought about it. And all I could think about in my head was like, man, like those two are going to meet up on a beach in like 10 years. Like somebody could just do the long shot of those two, like walking up to each other and like big smiles and hugs. And I mean, it would just complete that whole thing. But
I don't know. I don't know if you saw this. This was later on. This was down in the comments. I think Danica Patrick said something like, "Gonna miss you, brother," or something like that. And Cobb responded with a, "And man, I can't, after you know, after we retire, after you know, in a couple years or whatever, I can't wait to travel the world with you guys." Because that was, I mean, you know, Matthews was a big part of the team. Cobb, I think like Cobb and Rodgers, by all accounts, were like best friends on that team. Rodgers,
they were like brothers.
Yeah, Rodgers was in his wedding, and
yeah, and I know like. We obviously no one knows what goes on with like Aaron Rodgers' family and stuff, but I had seen like every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, like Rodgers a lot of the times was with the Cobbs, yeah. Like during the holidays, like he would literally spend like the most like significant holidays that are usually where you're like with your family with Randall and his wife and now their baby boy. So that just like shows you like how close they really are. They were celebrating these holidays together.
Yeah, that's they were family, and they're looking forward to, man, they're going to be in different cities, but I mean they're already it sounds like they're already making plans to travel together. So I mean you get that bond, like that's cool to see. It sucks he's not in the same city, but that's cool to see. I thought that was awesome.
So Randall Cobb going to the Dallas Cowboys on a 1-year deal. Clay Matthews, it broke right near the end of the last when the guys were recording the podcast yesterday. So there was a little bit of touching on it by them, but Clay Matthews going to the Rams on a 2-year deal. We don't have all the details yet, so it'll be really interesting to see what it's worth because the initial reports were 2 years up to $16.75 million. And that normally screams incentive-laden deal. So I'm going to be really intrigued. I know, Dusty, you were trying to wait and hopefully see if we could break that down, but that's the numbers still haven't come out yet. But I thought that one of the interesting things, too, was that it looks like he really wanted to go out to L.A. because yeah. They came out and said that he had gotten some more like higher-paid deals that on the table, but he just wanted to go to L.A. Like his family's out there. That's where he played college ball. So let's do it. Let's do some gut reactions to Clay being on, and then we'll top that off with what's your favorite Clay Matthews? I think it's a third. Clay Matthews is a third moment.
Sarah, kick us off.
I mean, he got paid, that's for sure. I mean, he secured the bag in that sense. So, I mean, good for him. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I mean, like, I would have thought it was a mistake for Packers to give him that much money. So if the Rams want to give him that much money, like go for it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I know that's where he's from. So like you said, I don't know if that was like a pull there. I don't really like get big into the contract side of things, but I mean, I'm happy for him. I will always like wish him the best. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean it's like you said it's we don't know what the contract is. This Steve, like you said, the up to 16.75, it screams incentive laden. It screams, I assume, low guaranteed money. Like I wouldn't be shocked if this comes out and it's like essentially a 1-year deal with an option for a second and a whole bunch kind of tied into escalators. Like that, it wouldn't shock me a bit if it's like 5 or 6 million guaranteed money. Like that just would not shock me a bit, which is if that's for the, I mean, that's good for, that'd be good for Matthews, you know, again, yeah, he's back home. He obviously had other offers and he decided to go there. That's cool. And I think it's a good move for the Rams. I mean, Matthews, a couple things I'll say about Matthews, you know, Yeah, obviously he's not the player he once was. He seems like at this point he's kind of more of a rotational guy. But kind of with the pieces that they've got in LA, they can afford to kind of give that to him. Maybe keep him a little fresh, put him off the edge, and maybe give him in kind of some more pure pass rushing situations. Combine that with some other guys they have, and he's got a chance. I mean, that deal could pan out very well for them if it's kind of low guaranteed money.
That defense is monstrous already. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing. He's not the number one option there. So if he can kind of come in, make some hay, 20 snaps a game or something, that could be tremendous. Like, he's still got enough juice left in the tank where he could do that. He's not an every down player anymore. He just can't do that. But you rotational, like, he could give him something. So I think that's good for the Rams. That's good for Matthews. That's amazing. One of the main things I think about Matthews and Cobb for that matter as well is, they were asked to do a lot of different things in Green Bay. Clay especially, once they kind of some of his skills started eroding and they were like, he was a superstar edge rusher, superstar. Like, still, he's the all-time sack leader in Green Bay history. But I mean, for a while, he was one of the best pass rushers in the league. They started eroding a little bit. And I know he's kind of got this. He's got this image of, California boy, and he's got the hair and, just very maybe kind of full of himself. They asked that dude to move inside, and he made you didn't hear complaints about it. There's no noise about that. He played inside when they needed him to play inside. He shifted back outside when they needed him to shift back outside. That's a dude. Yeah, Cobb kind of the same thing. They needed something from those guys, and they did it, and you didn't hear any complaints about it. I mean, that's huge. And with, again, with a guy like the size of Matthews, with what he was doing at the time, that's incredible to me. Gut reaction, it's not as severe as Cobb, but he was there. He was there for the Super Bowl. He was just a monster for years. And, he had one of the defining plays in that Super Bowl, which was just an incredible play. And of course, you had the Kevin Green, it is time. You've got that whole quote kind of going into it. You had him, telling Pickett what was going to happen before that fumble to kind of pave that way. It was like that play alone kind of cements him in. But I mean, he did everything they asked him to, did it very, very well. And even when his skills eroded, he still found a way to be productive. I'm not surprised he's gone. I kind of hope they'd bring Cobb back. I knew Matthews wasn't coming back. I made my peace with it. I'm going to miss him, but man, he gave us some years. So it was, again, like Cobb, right call, absolutely the right call. But yeah, it's still sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting, but I've heard a couple of people say, and I actually kind of like the comparison of this deal bringing Matthews over to the Rams is slightly like bringing Julius Peppers to the Packers.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the exact same level, because Julius Peppers, I think, probably still was playing at a higher level. But still, I mean, you throw him in as a situational pass rusher, and, I mean, running stunts with Aaron Donald, like, that's just going to – oh, my God.
It's unfair.
Yeah, exactly. So it's – I think it's really good. For me, as far as a favorite moment, I still I still remember the – when they played the Eagles, and it was, like, one of the first plays of the game, and he is just – it was like a puma coming after his prey. And he's just running. He's running down Kevin Cobb, and he all of a sudden just wraps his arms around him so Cobb can't brace, and he falls and like lands on his head, and I think he might have even got a concussion that pretty much ruined his career.
Yeah,
and that started, as Dusty told, we talked about this earlier, but it kind of relaunched Michael Vick into the world. So I don't know if we should be thanking Clay Matthews for that or what, but it's still just something I remember of like. Just the big arm, like the bare arms coming around Cobb and not being able to brace himself and just destroying him. So for me, that's one of my favorite moments of all time for Clay. Sarah, did you have one at all?
Yeah, kind of like we were talking about before. Like, I mean, the Super Bowl forced fumble is like the go-to for everybody, but like the one against the Giants when it was like snowing in the playoffs a couple years ago where, ball was on the ground, everybody thought the play was dead, the ball was on the ground, then he just completely manhandled, I don't even know, like, how to describe it. I just remember watching it, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, why did he just tackle that guy? Like, the play is dead. Like, now the, like, Giants running back is dead, too. Like, I don't know what's going on, and then Clay, like, picked it up and ran it back, and they were like, oh, yeah, the play was, it was fumble, touchdown, and I was like, what? And that was also, like, that's, like, two memories of, like, Cobb and Matthews in the same game, because that's when Cobb caught the Hail Mary pass, too, so.
Yeah, that was good. That was his strip sack of Eli Manning. The ball came forward, was at the feet of a running back. He went over and smashed the hell out of him, then picked up the football.
I think technically, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was two forced fumbles on that play, because he forced the Manning one, and I think technically the running back was standing up and had his hand on it, and when Matthews leveled him, that was another forced fumble. So if I'm remember this correctly, I think it was technically two forced fumbles by Matthews on that play, one at the behest of, I can't remember the running back, just yeah. Like you said, like,
was it Harris? I don't know.
I can't remember. Like, just lowered his shoulder, like, and leveled it. Yeah, he doesn't exist on this earth anymore, Steve.
That happened to me, like, I would legitimately die. Like, I just, like, wow. I don't know.
That's well, what, sir, I don't know. I don't know if you're aware, but I said that I could block a defensive end better than.
Has no one taken Jimmy Graham? No one has taken that up on us yet, Steve.
I saw that, and then someone say, like, Julius Peppers should, like, block you or something. Yes.
We're trying to get Peppers. Yeah, we're trying to get Peppers to come out and do it.
If we can get a defensive end, I still maintain the fact. I'm not saying I could block him. I'm just saying I could do it better than Jimmy Graham.
I would like to see it.
I don't think that's true, because you would die, and Jimmy Graham hasn't died yet.
I would like to see it.
I didn't get.
If you guys can line it up,
I want to get a retired guy. I want to get like Nick Barnett or something out there, and just like Nick Barnett just lay into you like that. I want to see something like that. You know, that's what I want to see. What's the Gravedigger up to? What's Gilbert Brown up to these days? God. Come on out, buddy.
I would die on that one.
Yeah, that's right. So, Clay moment. We mentioned the Super Bowl one. God, that Super Bowl one's just tremendous for so many reasons. But my favorite Clay moments are always the ones where he just, I mean, both of them that you mentioned as well, where he just played like his hair was on fire. Like, he's just, like, he looked like a monster, just an absolute animal out there, just hunting down the ball and just ripping it away from people. And so there was the, we talked about it before. I can't remember who was against. I was thinking it was the Giants. Steve, you said it was the Vikings, when he just like ran down the running back and legit on the sideline ripped the ball away from him and took off in the other direction at 100% acceleration. It's incredible.
He ripped the ball out of Adrian Peterson's hands and just took it back 50 yards.
Yeah, like it was nothing. Like, just ripped it out again, like he was an animal. Just like ripped it.
Yeah, and his hair is like blowing in the wind out of his helmet. Like,
yeah. Yeah, those are some of my favorite moments. When I think of him, I just think of him playing like an absolute maniac. That's Clay Matthews. The Super Bowl one's great. The Super Bowl one was kind of more of a mental thing. You know, he's kind of reading the offense. He knew what they were going to do. He kind of manipulated. And obviously, tremendous play. But yeah, when I think of Matthews, I think of just an absolute animal in long, flowing locks, just destroying everybody.
That and then I always... The other thing you ever think of is him on the sidelines with a Gatorade bottle pouring it into his hair. I don't know. There was always a shot of that in every single game, of him doing that and then like shaking his head like he's in a Head and Shoulders commercial, which mm-hmm. I believe he was actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my iconic is the Gatorade bottle. So Clay is gone. Cobb's gone. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I believe. It's out there today. Ross Uglum, he actually is one of the guys who does Pack a Day as well. He writes for Cheesehead TV, does a whole bunch of other things too, but wrote an article about, since Cobb is now gone, what are the internal options for the Packers as far as the slot goes? And I thought it was just something that we could touch on and just get your thoughts as what you guys think, because I thought it was a really well-done article. He really explains every single option that the Packers have. And it's one of those things that all of a sudden you read this article and you're like, well, maybe they don't need to draft somebody right away in like the first or second round in the slot, because he breaks it down. And we start off with his first option is Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. Is, hey, let's use Jimmy Graham the way he's supposed to be used. Mike, I think everybody was confused at how they used Jimmy Graham last year. They put him on the line quite a bit to be a blocker when that's not what he does, as we talked about. I could do it better. He is a receiving tight end. He should be out in the slot. He should be put out wide for jump balls. I mean, use him effectively. So option number one for the slot is Jimmy Graham. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the spot for him. I mean, you can't just line him up out there. That can't be his sole position. But that is, I am of the mind that they used him better last year than the general perception is. But I still think he could be used better. Like, I think his numbers don't tell the whole story of what he did for that offense, specifically when Cobb was healthy. But yeah, Graham in the slot, especially in the red zone, makes just a tremendous amount of sense.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, like, there was quite a few times that I just remember from this past season where I'd be watching the game and I'm like, this, like, we'd be in the red zone and I'm like, this would be a perfect time to just lob it up. Like, he's bigger than everyone. Like, put him in the slot, lob it up, and he's going to catch the ball 99% of the time, like, in that situation. And there were so many times where that happened where I was just like, why aren't we doing that? Like, he could be used in that sense, and that would make a significant difference. So I agree. I think it would be a good option. I think it would definitely be something they should look into. And I think, like, I agree too, Dusty, that, like, I mean, I don't think they used him maybe in the best ways, but it wasn't, like, as terrible as some people, like, make it seem. But I think it still could be better.
Yeah, his usage could be more effective. That's probably a better way to say it. Mm-hmm. They used him well in some aspects, and some other aspects that probably could be improved, and hopefully LaFleur will get that under control. Option number two, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And I really love this article because Ross breaks down effective plays for each of these guys when they were in the slot. So it's got some great plays to the point of where MVS is – lined up in the slot, and you can't come up and press on him because he's fast enough to beat the press. And if you press him and miss, he's gone. And they showed a couple times where that happened. And then if you back off of him, they can just pull it up right away, chuck it to him, and let him work because he can get some yards after catch. But Dusty, what are you thinking? MVS, what's a better option, Jimmy Graham or MVS in the slot?
Yeah, I mean, Ross touched on it then at the end of that, where I was kind of thinking the same thing going in. It's funny because I had this internal monologue going when I'm reading it and going, well, MVS seems like he kind of profiles more as a two, at least a ceiling does, kind of on the outside. And at the end of that, Ross is like, MVS seems like he'd be better as a two. Like, oh, awesome. Okay, cool. I'm as smart as Russ, except I'm not. So I watched, I obviously went through all the passing plays last year. If I'm not mistaken, MVS kind of split evenly between kind of slot and outside. I've recently, for an article I'm working on that should be up when you're listening to this today, hopefully, about just the nature of option routes and why some rookie receivers kind of struggle. And MVS seemed to be in a lot. I'm going through a whole lot of USF games from 2017. He was kind of more of an outside guy there. So I'm kind of thinking MVS kind of makes a little more sense on the outside, just his body type, his profile. Like, it seems like he can be better out there. That being said, I'm kind of you don't necessarily need a true slot receiver. You can kind of move guys around. They've got guys they can kind of play around with that for. I mean, if you're kind of, and we'll talk, we've got one more guy to talk about, but I think MVS would profile better in the slot than Graham, just his skill set. You know, he's got the size, he's got the speed. He can do all that. Like, he can just kill you from the slot. I think MVS can be effective from the slot. I think his better spot is outside. So if I had to, gun to my head, I think I'd still pick Graham in the slot, MVS on the outside. But, I mean, I'd still give MVS 20% of the snaps from the slot.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So we'll move on next to Equanimeous St. Brown. And Sarah will have you talk a little bit about him. But, I mean, I think this is something that he looks to profile as a large receiver out of the slot, the big slot guy. But as Ross said, he's too fast for linebackers and safeties. It kind of works out pretty well, and he's smart at it. But Sarah, what are you thinking? What do you like about EQ out of the slot?
So when I initially when I saw the title of the article itself, like before I read it, he was one of the first people that did come to mind, at least for me. I was like, I feel like his size could maybe like spice it up a little bit. And I just feel like his speed is something in particular that I liked, like when he would run quick routes. And it seemed like when he would go down and try to be a deep threat, like on the outside or whatever, it always seemed like except for with an exception of a couple times, that he was never on the same page as like everybody else. But when he was running like short, quick routes or in the slot, it seemed like he like had it together. Seems like he just kind of fit that position a little more. I know there was like quite a few times the past season that like Rodgers, you could just tell, like looked at him like, come on, man, like come on, like really. And so I think he's a great fit to at least try. I would also, like we said, put Jimmy Graham in the slot as well. But right now, those two, I feel like, would be my two front runners.
Very cool. I think, I mean, after reading the article, it all makes sense. And then Ross even throws in the bonus of Devontae Adams coming out of the slot, which I know Dusty loves.
Yeah.
So take the floor, man. You got it.
I do love that. I mean, that's something, you know, the slot, you know, just without getting too simplistic and also without going too far down this road, it's so hard to cover guys from the slot, especially a guy with the footwork of Adams, just because, I mean, you go on the outside and the guy across from you has a couple different techniques. He can, you know, try to maybe play you to kind of shade you and kind of get you pinned to the sideline or funnel you inside, because you can go only so many directions when you're outside the hashes, when you're kind of running that wide spot. When you're in the slot, you can go anywhere. Just anywhere. And some of my favorite plays last year, and they kind of did this a little more as the season went on, kind of at the midway point. I can't remember what the snap breakdown was, but around the halfway point of the season, there was a game where they had Adams go like 15 times out of the slot, and he caught like, I don't know, 9 passes for 90 yards or something. Just, and you would just watch what they would do, and they'd put someone across from him and they would try to jam him, and you can't get a hand on him because you don't know which way he's going. You can't get a hand on him anyway because his feet are just preposterous, but you really can't. When you don't know which way he's going, you don't really have a good plan against him. He can beat you legitimately in a direction he feels like beating you out of the slot. So, I mean, that's a guy, again, I mean, there's what he brings from the outside is just tremendous value, and that's where you want him predominantly. But when they had him in the slot 10 to 15 times a game, he was essentially unguardable. You could do anything you want with him there. So again, I mean, I don't think you necessarily need like a main, you know, having a slot guy, predominant slot guy is good. That's awesome. But I don't think you need to be tied. It's like a not positionless thing because it's a receiver thing, but it's kind of my same problem with the way they kind of treated Montgomery. They treated Ty Montgomery as like, well, he's a receiver. And then when they switched him to a running back, like, okay, he's a running back. Like, no, he's neither. He's both. You use him as a Swiss Army knife. He's one of those guys. That was the thing that was always pissed me off about the Cobb Montgomery stuff. You could have both those guys on the field and you could just freaking go no huddle and you could legitimately run power run or shotgun spread. And defenses could not account for that because you got two guys who could do everything. It's not the same concept, but it kind of is, in that you've got all these guys that can kind of switch off. You don't need to think of Adams as an outside guy because he can make hay in the slot. He's just not going to all the time. That doesn't mean he can't do things there. So, yeah, I mean, he's not – I mean, obviously, Adams is not the number one slot option. But when you put him there, he's the best slot receiver on the team. He's got value elsewhere. You can just – Adams – guys, I don't know if you know this. Devontae Adams is really good. He's just really good, no matter where
Devontae
he lines
Adams,
up.
Devontae Adams, good at football.
That's why people listen to this. That's why they listen to this podcast, guys, is because of stuff like that. Because of these hard-hitting analysis that we give them, like Devontae Adams is good at football.
Do you think he's the best at football on the Packers besides Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know, man. Have you watched Kenny Clark lately?
I was just talking offense, but sure, you can take it to defense.
Oh, well,
whatever.
Definitely.
Way to ruin it.
Offense, 100%.
We were doing so well, Dusty. You're just going, screw it all up.
I don't know, man. Devontae Adams is really good, but God, did you watch Lance Kendricks last year? I mean, he's, you know, I know he's not with the team anymore, but he's still a possibility, so.
Wayne Taylor was really bringing the heat.
Mason Crosby was excellent, yeah.
Jimmy Graham, like, he's good at everything. What can he do? He can block. I heard Steve say he could run a better route than Jimmy Graham, so I don't know.
I would like to see it.
Well, you know, in all of my Thanksgiving Day football games that I play once a year, I am known as the best route runner in the Per Hatch family.
I can run, man. I run a mean quarter pattern, but then I pull my hamstring on the first one and I'm done. But that first route, boy, whew.
No, man, it's all about the button hook. Like, turn, and then it's in your back.
Ah, the Jackie Harris, cool. All right,
I'm more of the yak as opposed to the double move type.
I used to be the double move type. I think those days are behind me between you and me, Steve.
Well, we wanted to end the show, kind of give a little preview since this whole article kind of came out. It got me thinking as to, you know, maybe the slot position is filled already, but if you guys had an idea as to one thing that the team, you think the team should do before the draft to make them better. It's up to you as to what you wanted to decide. So I know, Dusty, you kind of had different thoughts. So why don't you start us off and tell us what you think that what they should or should not do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of the mind that they should stand pat. I mean, there's things they could do, obviously, but I mean, with the spending spree that they had in free agency, that covered a lot of their holes. There's I hate to kind of put too much on the young guys. I hate to say that EQ is like your starting slot going out because, you know, he was kind of a late round pick. And what if those guys don't pan out? There's a chance that those guys don't pan out. We've got all this promise kind of linked to them, but there's a decent chance at least one of those guys doesn't pan out. That's without talking about Jamon Moore, who I just absolutely love and think could do a little better this year. But that, I mean, the fact remains, we've seen 1 year of these guys where they showed flashes, you know, except for Moore really. And we don't know how they're going to pan out. So I do think maybe some slot help would be good. But honestly, I think I'd rather just wait for the draft for that. Try to get someone that kind of profiles more as a slot guy in the draft. Or just, it's LaFleur, man, just get creative. You get creative with that stuff. You're scheming guys open. You're kind of moving guys in and out. You're moving guys around. I mean, I like the guys they have now. And though I do think there are other places they could go, I mean, I still don't feel overly comfortable with the safety position. Even though I like the Amos signing, but I still don't feel overly comfortable with it. I kind of was looking at names and nothing really struck me, especially in light of, I know the report was kind of wrong. The Silverstein report, as far as they only have $5 million in cap space left. They don't, they've got, I think the report is probably $8 to $13 million in cap space remaining. I don't want them to spend money just to spend money. I think the team is good where it's at. I think they can patch some things in the draft without needing to patch things in the draft. So I'm kind of the mind that they should just kind of stand pat where they are, grab best available in the draft, and then see what shakes, man. Maybe sign someone after that if they feel like they need to. But I've been guilty of being optimistic in the past. That's probably what's going on here. But I kind of like the makeup of this squad right now.
I feel like I'm just a little concerned about the offensive line right now. Like, I just felt like it was shaky at times last season, and we haven't really done much to, like, fix that, at least, like, in free agency. And then, I mean,
They signed Billy Turner.
yeah, Madden generic player Billy Turner. Don't you remember, Sarah?
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to solve all of the problems.
All of them, right? That was what I was hinting a little bit at. Like, I don't think we've done that much to fix that problem. But that's just a little concerning to me. It's not like a huge, like, I lose sleep at night over it thing. But I'm like, I would be, like, I think about, like, that position in particular is such a huge jump from the college level to the NFL level. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we want someone there, I would want someone that has at least experience in the NFL already. I mean, unless, like, I don't think we should use one of our, like, early round picks on that position. So I wouldn't want to get late. So I'm just like, I don't know. And then the safety position does concern me too. I really like the signing, but I think we need more than that. Like, I look at that and I'm like, that's really great. And I was really excited about that. That was probably the signing that I was most excited about. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, he can't do everything. Like, he can't do it all on his own. So I feel like that would definitely be a position of need in the draft, especially. But I don't know. Those are the two things that the two areas that I'm kind of just like, I could be more satisfied with that.
Okay. Yeah, it all makes sense to me. But I mean, you guys both kind of touched on what I was thinking was the safety position. I would like a little bit more of a ball hawking free safety to like a Trey Boston-ish, something like that. He's still out on the market. Could be had for, I'm thinking, a decent, like a nice enough price where the Packers could pull the trigger. I know they were, I think it's Campbell that they wanted to potentially bring back once he returns from his injury that he suffered with the Packers. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just, there still are, like, as much as everybody says, oh, well, they filled the holes that they need to fill, I still feel like there's a lot of holes left that need to be filled with the draft. So I guess I'm not as optimistic. I think another free safety would help do that. That would kind of free you up to – I know Sarah doesn't like this, but I definitely think they should be within the first three picks picking an offensive lineman. But that's just me. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of different holes, but for me, safety would be the biggest one that I would want them to go after.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, you're looking at who's the free safety? Is that it's Tremont, right? Yeah, I mean, unless they bring Campbell. So, yeah. I like Campbell, but I mean, yeah, it's Tremont, which is not
great. The best ever. Yeah.
Less than ideal.
Yeah, I mean, I will say for offensive line, I mean, I don't mind where they're at this year, but if Bulaga's gone after next year, they need to grab someone that kind of helps next year, because like you said, Sarah, those guys don't necessarily take immediately. So someone to kind of sit for a little bit, plug where you need to, but kind of just sit and jump in at right tackle next year. Because again, another reason people listen to the podcast, I don't think Jason Spriggs is it. I don't think he's it.
Just
hard hitting tapes.
Oh my God. I'm spitting them. I'm telling you guys, I'm on fire today.
Dropping Thor's hammer on everybody. I like it.
That's right.
I like it. Well, I think that'll wrap it up. But before we go, we do have some fun news to break for you guys as far as the Pack-A-Day podcast goes. After the NFL draft, Dusty, Sarah, and I have all signed on the dotted line because Andy got really drunk one night and told us that he wanted us to do the Thursday edition every single week. So starting in May, you will hear us every Thursday. So that's really cool. We're excited to, you know, get to talk to you guys once a week about the Packers. And so that's really exciting. And then tomorrow, Sarah and I, and I think Dusty is begrudgingly agreed to help us out here, but we're going to be doing a Oreo cookie bracket buster. We're going to break down, I think, is the top 16 Oreos. Is that what we decided?
Yeah, Sarah's doing it. Yeah, she's ambitious. You want to expand to 32, Sarah, you have at it, man.
I don't even know if there's 32 kind.
We'll do a little bit of research, but we're going to break out a bracket. We'll hopefully do some polls tomorrow, have a little fun with it. But to the Oreo cookie commentator, please feel free to calculate how much time we spent talking about cookies this week. Hopefully it wasn't too much for you.
We did a lot of football. We did a lot of football. We did a lot.
You can hear my kid talking.
That's adorable, Steve. Yes, that's adorable.
I know. Apparently, that's code for we need to go. So
she heard you talking about Oreos, and she was like, "Daddy, what do you got in there? What's going on?"
For Sarah and Dusty, I'm Steve. As always, go Pack.
Sunday Night Football in the start of a historic season for the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Rushes on. Rodgers nowhere to go, and he's snowed under. Back inside the 30, and Rodgers is down. Roy Robertson, Harris, Khalil Mack. And Rodgers unable to get up. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Down at 19 from the Green Bay 30. Snap to Kaiser under pressure. Immediately dumps it up right side. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Circle route to the 15, to the 10. He's to the 5 of the end zone. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Khalil Mack's had a sack, fumble recovery, interception return for a touchdown. To go in the third, Chicago 20, Green Bay nothing.
Wayne, I actually see Aaron on the sideline throwing.
Well, that's a good sign. Yep, he is. Of the shotgun, snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, throws it over the middle. Randall Cobb is there. Makes a spinning grab just outside the left hash mark. J.K. Scott, Mason Crosby. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is up. And it is good. So the Packers on the board with 3:37 to go in the third. Snap to A-Rod, looking around and waiting. Lofts it. Deep down the right side. Allison in the end zone. Makes a spectacular catch. Touchdown.
What a throw and what a catch.
And the Packers get back into it. 39-yard bomb from Aaron Rodgers. Beasley on the snap. Four-man line for the Bears. They're coming on a blitz up the middle. They pick it up. Rodgers looks. Locked left side. Got a man out there. Devontae Adams. Got him left side by the 50. Cutting right to the 40. Turns up field to 35. 30 to the 25. And down they go. Inside the 25. At the Chicago 21. Snap to Rodgers under a blitz. Rodgers tight pocket. Steps up. Throws a left. Got Devontae inside the 10. Head fake. Cuts left to the 5. Reaches. Snap to A-Rod. Rushes on. Has